share with you some thoughts on what our tribe looks like, you know, our family, our particular family that has a name, right? So the first part of this just kind of summarizes what I shared last week about our tribe, about our family. So I wanted you to have that. Tonight, I want to kind of take it another step and talk about our core beliefs. And so you'll see that on the next page, I've got some just really four things listed under cornerstone beliefs. Now, let me just be really clear about this. What you're seeing there actually comes from Bill Johnson. All right? And I am just so blessed that God has allowed me to connect with him kind of as a long-distance mentor. Bill Johnson, you know, is the head of a very powerful ministry and a stream of revival that, you know, God's just doing some amazing things through him. So, you know, recently I heard him speak on these four topics, and I knew immediately that it spoke to who we are. And I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? When you connect like that with someone and realize that God has positioned them in such a way, you know, to help you grow and to help you understand what God is doing in this hour, I'm like, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. You know, I'm just somebody that won't reinvent the wheel. I don't have to. So I took what he shared and I tweaked it a little bit. I kind of changed the order of it so it made sense for me, right? And I just want to talk a little bit with you and just get some dialogue going about this. Okay? The first cornerstone belief, which as I have to agree with Bill on this one, God is good, is the foundation for all theology. If you don't have a belief in an understanding of the goodness of God, you're in trouble, okay? Because his goodness, he has to be good. Somebody tell me, why does God have to be good? Think about it for a minute. You know, why does he have to be good? Why is there no option for God when it comes to being good? You ever think about that?
That's his nature.
Well, it is his nature. But my question is, why? Why is it necessary that God must be good?
Because he's love. And love is good.
Because he's love. Exactly. Right. He is love. And the expression of love is what we call goodness. When God expresses his love, when he shows his love in some tangible way by blessing us, by healing us, by providing for us, right? It's good. It's goodness. That's his goodness coming out. You can't be a loving person without also being good. You see how that works? So this is a foundational thing, right? And we all know the story of Moses, right? Being in the cleft of the rock and saying, "Show me your glory." And God said, "Okay, I'll let you see my backside. So I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you." Right? And so what did God do? He equated glory and goodness. That God's glory is his goodness. Right? Somebody came up to Jesus one time and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus say?
Why do you call me good?
There is none good but God alone. Right? And then he went on to answer the man's question. But he addressed first that whole thing of good. So God is good. Right? What does knowing that God is good, what does that do for us when it comes to life? And living life. Well, yeah, it's a thing you just relax. But what else does it do for us? Remember, this is the foundation for our theology. What is theology? Theology is studying to know God. It's the knowledge of God, right? So why is knowing about His goodness, but what does that do for us?
We can trust Him.
We can trust Him, okay? Absolutely. Sure. And it also contrasts with the lies that are out there about Him, right? Because, see, we know, we understand that the enemy is constantly trying to paint God as someone who is not good. Right? You hear this all the time, right? Oh, you know, so-and-so just went home to be with the Lord. I guess the Lord wanted to take them home with Him. Right? Y'all heard that, right? The Lord wanted to take so-and-so home. Can I tell you, that's a lie. God does not sit up there and say, okay, time up for that person. Bam! You know, down the chute or up the chute. Hopefully it's up the chute. Right? You know what I'm saying? But those kinds of ideas are so prevalent in the culture that when something bad happens, you know, I mean, I realize most of us probably don't get into the minutiae of our insurance contracts. But in every insurance policy, there is a paragraph that says, we are not going to pay for acts of God. Right? And what do they consider an act of God? A disaster, you know, an earthquake, a tornado, or some other kind of major, you know, tsunami, something like that, right? That's an act of God. What are they saying? They're saying that God is not good. That's the point. And so, by us choosing to have as our foundation, God is good. Right? God is good all the time. What that does is it helps us to come into a right relationship with Him. Okay? Yes, Papa, you're always good. And when stuff isn't good, it's not coming from Him. It is not coming from Him. Where's it coming from? Won't shut me down. But it's not good. Where's it coming from? I see that hand back there.
It's not good. It's coming from the enemy.
From the enemy. Yeah. Okay. Where else? There's two sources of not good in the world. The devil.
Our own stupidity.
And our own stupidity. Absolutely. Let's be honest, right? It's just, we all make decisions that, how's that working out for you? Okay. So
that's the right question.
So, exactly. So that's the thing. God is always good. But when stuff's not good, we have to realize it's not from Him. Never from Him. Okay? And so I'm just gonna tell you that I will never back away from that in my life. I've made up my mind that I'm gonna stand firm knowing that He's good. He's always good, right? The second thing is that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all on the cross. Everything that needed to get fixed, everything that needed to get restored, everything that needed to be healed, everything that needed whatever, you know, salvation, it all happened at the cross. Such that, and we talked about this last week, those of us that know Him, we are a new race. We are new creatures. We have been brought back to the state that Adam and Eve were in, with the exception that our bodies are still subject to death. But in God's eyes, He looks at you just the same as Jesus. Why? Because we're one with Him. Okay? So everything that was necessary to be handled, taken care of, all sin, past, present, and future, right? You understand why all future sins had to be taken care of, right? Okay? Think about this. Let's say that you were condemned for murder, you were put in jail, and then for some strange reason you were set free. Okay? But the thing was that next time you did something wrong, they were saying, oh, we're throwing you back in jail because you messed up. So wait a minute, I was set free. See, Jesus had to take care of every sin, past, present, and future, right? So that there would never again be anything that would get between us and the Father. And that's so important to understand that. Does it mean that we should go out and sin? Of course not. We're new creatures in Christ. We don't sin. You know, and at our core, at your spirit level, you just don't do that. You know, why is it that we still struggle with sin? Because we have memories. We have memories and we have feelings that still go back to the old nature. Those memories and those feelings will always try to pull us back, you know, into a mindset that we've been set free from. Okay? Sometimes I wish that after you got saved, you know, that we all had one of those flashy things that they had in Men in Black. Right? Yeah, like, yeah. Look at the flashy things. You know? That would be so cool. Right? But instead, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with renewing our mind. We're dealing with recognizing where my thoughts don't agree with his, and coming into a place where I'm now, you know, agree with what, right? Okay. So that's the thing about, you know, that Jesus paid for it all. Did you realize that every single healing that was ever, you know, needed was paid for back then? Healing is a done deal. When we pray for somebody for healing, we're not asking God to heal them. We're declaring what Jesus already provided. By his stripes you were healed. He bore, past tense, our sicknesses and carried away, past tense, our diseases. Right? So it's all been done. So we're just basically enforcing what he did, and we're saying, Lord, you deserve to get what you paid for. Right? That's the whole deal with healing. Okay. So then the third thing is every person has significance and a destiny. Every person. Right? Psalm 139, what does it say? You're fearfully made. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. That means God knew what the heck he was doing when he made you. There are no accidents, right? You're not a mistake. If you're here right now breathing, those of you watching my video, if you're watching this and you're breathing, all right, you're supposed to be here, okay? God says, you're mine. I created you, okay? And it even says in Psalm 139 that all the days of your life are written in his book before there were any of them. So God knows from beginning to end what he put in us and what he did, you know, what he destined us for. The way he created each of us is perfect for what we're called to do, what we're created to do, what our destiny is. You are created perfectly to do that. There's no mistake, right? Do I wish I wasn't so vertically challenged? Absolutely. I you know what I mean? I'm 10 feet tall on the inside. Okay, so that's a good thing, right? So it's so important that we realize that we're born with a potential for significance and a destiny. And do you understand that, as awesome as it is not automatic? There are many people who never get in touch with their destiny for a lot of different reasons. Some of them because they don't live in an environment that makes that possible. You know, sometimes I think about that and it just like blows my mind when I realize, man, there are millions of people who lived and died without ever knowing why they were here on the earth, what their purpose was, what their destiny was. How sad is that? Even if they knew God, they just were not in a place where that sort of thing was understood or celebrated or pursued. You know what I mean? And so how awesome is it that, for whatever reason, we can do that? We can pursue what God created us for. Right? Knowing that there's no greater satisfaction. Okay? You don't have to be like anybody else. You just get to be who you are. You can't be like anybody else. That would be horrible. Right? The last thing this world needs is more people trying to be like me. All right? It's, that would be terrible. And you look funny too. But the idea is that we're supposed to be, you know, God wants us to get comfortable with who we really are. You know, but we're going to talk more about identity as we go forward. But for now, just recognize that's a core belief. That's a cornerstone belief that we have. That they're not happy, are they? That, you know, this cornerstone belief that we're significant, right, means that we go the next step and realize, number four, nothing is impossible. Now listen, we know that that's true about God, right? Nothing's impossible for Him. Is there anything too hard for me, He says? The answer, of course, is no. There is nothing too hard for me. But then, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say about impossibilities when it comes to us? Anybody remember? All things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible. So he takes this idea of his limitlessness and says, hey, would you like some of that? Would you like some of my limitlessness?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All it takes is the ability to believe, is the ability to trust Him in terms of what He's saying. Do you trust Him when He says who you are? Do you believe Him when He says who you are? Or do you still argue with that? Do you still, I don't think so. I don't see that. Okay, you don't see that. He sees that. When we don't come into agreement with what He says about us, how He sees us, right? That's where you choose to level off. There you go. There's your plateau right there. Okay? And He's saying, there's no limits. There's no limits. But what does that mean in a practical sense? What it means is, I got to be willing to take some risks. And you know, God, I'll tell you, God's been just pounding me with this over these past few weeks. If you really believe you are who I say you are, and it's time to step out, take some risks, and actually do something. Do something. Make a choice. He slapped me with the other day. And actually, this was probably a month or two ago. I get these phrases sometimes, right? And here's one. This one kind of rocked me for a bit. He said, you know, if you don't like where your choices have led you, make a better choice. Because, you know, how many times you sit there and go, man, I wish things were different. I wish it was better. I wish this. I wish that. Right? God is saying that we have the potential to do whatever He says. As a matter of fact, I wanted to share it real quick before we close today from John 15. I was reading this and actually studying this. And, oh, man, this stuff just blew me away. You know, this is the passage where He talks about He's the vine and the vine, and right? He's the vine and we're the branches. And talks about, you know, He says that we should abide in Him and as He abides in us and all that, right? So, He's really what? He's describing this relationship that we get to have with Him. That we're one with Him. He's in us. We're in Him, right? We're inseparable. You get that, right? And so, verse 7, John 15, 7, is one of the most crazy verses in the entire Bible. And I mean that seriously. It is one of the craziest verses in the entire Bible. Because Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. Now, there are two conditions there. Okay. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a mercy? Okay. There are two conditions in that verse. Okay. How many of you are old enough to remember that song? Okay. So those of you who don't, you can look up Janis Joplin. You'll see that. Right. If you abide in me, right? So that's condition number one. How do you know you're abiding in Christ? How do you know? It's real simple. Huh? No, I thought I heard somebody. Well, how do you know you're abiding in Christ? Well, that's probably one way, but how do you know you're abiding in Christ? Did you give your life to Him? Are you born again? It's just that simple, okay? If you're born again, you're abiding in Christ. God put you in Christ, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, it's God's doing. By His doing are you in Christ Jesus, okay? It just comes with the package. You can't not be in Christ if you're born again, right? So there's condition number one. What's condition number two? My words abide in you. What does that mean? Huh?
That you're into the Word of God.
Yeah, that you know His Word, that you know His heart, that you know what He says.
Greek word is rhema.
Is rhema, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. If His Word, the words that He has spoken to you, if you've kept them in your heart, you know, realizing that it's a dialogue. You're dialoguing with, I love to dialogue with the Lord, man. I just sit there and pepper Him with questions. Yeah, but what about this? And how does that work? You know, help me understand that because I'm not quite getting this. He loves that because it's a dialogue. I don't always get the answers immediately, but guess what? Give it a couple of weeks and it just kind of marinates and percolates in my spirit and all of a sudden, oh, snap. Right? It's like, that's awesome. I get that. So I'm studying this today, you know, and I get into the Greek because I love the Greek because it helps you out so very much. You know what it actually says? It says that if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. It's actually given, not done. Okay? There's a thing that we have this idea, and I'll just have to touch this really quick because this is a long teaching, but I just want you to think about this for a minute. Can you see the difference between asking God to give you something and asking Him to do something? Can you see the difference in that? The difference is basically this. If I ask God to give me something, right, who has to do something with that thing that you just got? Exactly. When I ask God to give me something, it means I have to take responsibility with whatever I asked Him to give me. I'm not asking Him to do something. I'm asking Him to give me something that I want. Can I tell you, this has flooded my soul with light. This idea that He's saying to me and to you, there's no limits. I just gave you a huge blank check with my signature. And since you are abiding in me, and since you know my word, you've surrendered your life to me, and you know what I'm saying? What do you want? See, because in that context, you know what you want? You want something that's going to glorify Him. You want something that is just going to be so awesome for His kingdom and for His glory. Right? And so I just want to encourage you tonight with this, you know, that we have this cornerstone, these cornerstone beliefs that God is always good, that it's all been paid for by Jesus at the cross, right? That we are people of significance and destiny. And because of that, there's no limits. There's no limits on us. Nothing's impossible. He invites us to go into the impossible. Okay? I can't really give you some details yet, but there's something that the Lord showed me a number of years ago that I never followed up on. And it's something that's so outrageous, and it scared me. It really, I said, God, I don't even know how to begin to follow through with this. And so I just kind of like, you know how you said, well, Lord, I'll just wait on you, you know, I'll just, you know, you'll show me, right? That's a cop-out, right? Waiting on God many times is just a cop-out because you're too scared to do anything. Well, guess what? I realize that if I don't do something, I will regret it for the rest of my life.
Most of the time he wants you to dig into it.
I can't hear you, bro.
Most of the time he wants you to dig into it.
He wants you to what?
Dig into it.
Dig into it? Yeah, exactly.
Follow up on it.
Yeah. But to ask him for something, right? Lord, I want you to give this to me. You know. In order for that to happen, there's got to be some action on my part.
He wants you to run with it.
To position myself so he can do that. Right, exactly. Okay. So I want to encourage you tonight that this is kind of gives you, you know, a bit of a picture of what we're called to, who we are. And I'm excited because, you know, you guys are crazy enough to want to be part of this thing. Okay? And so we're going to have some fun. Any questions, any thoughts on that as we kind of wrap up today? So let's just pray for a minute. Father, I want to thank you that you have so designed this thing that we get to be like you. God, you gave us your DNA. We carry your very DNA. And so, Lord, I'm just right now asking that all of the mindsets, Lord, that have warred against the truth, Lord, that you're exposing those mindsets even right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, you are challenging us in these areas so that we, Lord, can be just totally aligned with you. And we say yes to you tonight. We say yes to you tonight. That you would fully align our hearts and minds with you, with your word, with your truth, Lord God. Because you are always good. And it was all paid for. And we are significant to you and to the world, Lord God. We're going to be blessing the world, Lord God, because there really truly are no limits. There's nothing impossible for us. And so tonight, Lord, we just affirm before you our desire to walk out these truths, Lord God. These aren't just isolated ideas, but they cause us to behave in certain ways, God. They cause us to live in certain ways. And so tonight, we just say yes to you for that. Thanks so much that we get to do this. We get to walk with you and learn what it's like. These adventures that we get to explore and things we get to do. We give you glory tonight, Lord. Revelation. This revelation the Lord is releasing tonight over many of you. Just fresh vision. Things that you know, you thought were dead. The Lord says, I'm going to resurrect those things in your life. Thoughts and ideas of stuff that you never thought were going to be possible. Lord's saying, my spirit, my river of living water is watering those seeds even right now and causing you to see again what I promised you, what I put in you. The seeds of your destiny are there. So, Lord, we just tear down every barrier of unbelief, God, that would war against that and say, no more. No loss.